Hello and welcome to Rancor's Brothel, episode 44. We're fast approaching my waist size.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Snap, as in what my jeans can't do. I can't get them to... No, I'm just kidding. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Cody.
And today we're going to try something a little different, just a little... something that we used to do on the old show, and just try it with Mr. Cody and see how it works. Just kind of... Just chit-chat. Just talk today. No fucking verses and no little, you know, have a one-note joke, you know, oh, we're going to talk about the history of Gumby this week, you know. We're just going to talk about our geeky lives and the things that we're into. And you and I were just having an excellent discussion that I wish was recorded, so let's continue.
All right.
For the record, I didn't know who Donald Logue was by name. However, once I saw the face, I was like, oh, shit, I know that guy. And
yeah,
so- he's playing what?
He is playing, let me get back to it here. He is playing Harvey Bullock, who is one of my favorite cops on the Gotham City Police Department. Because he's the heavyset guy with the toothpick from the animated series, for those of you who don't know Harvey Bullock. And we're talking about Fox's new TV show, Gotham, which is coming out, not sure when, next year maybe?
I believe so. Yeah, they released a title card for it, which is what we were originally talking about. And then he started looking at the cast, and we went down the Donald Logue rabbit hole. So, yeah, when you watch Batman Begins, did you want the guy that played Flass, who's Bobby from Sons of Anarchy, did you, when you were watching it, before they said his name, were you like, oh, my God, is that Bullock?
Yes.
Because then in The Dark Knight, they had a Hispanic woman, and I was like, is that Montoya? Like, what's going on here? Are we getting these characters? It'd be awesome.
It is amazing how much Bruce Timm has affected the Batman universe, especially because, I mean, we've talked about this before, but that was like my go-to show when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
I have it on DVD. I love that show. I'll still watch it now. It's fantastic.
When I read a Batman comic book in my head, it's Batman from Batman the Animated Series.
It's a great depiction of the character. But,
it really is, and yet more wholesome than some of the comics, you know? It's not as... It's gritty and dark, but it's not as bloody. Does that make sense? Like, it's...
Oh, most definitely.
You know, it's... I don't know. It's wholesome. It's wholesome Batman, but not campy 60s Batman.
True. And it plays a good line. It's good enough for kids, but I also remember sitting down and watching that with my dad. Like, it wasn't just, oh, you know, my 7-year-old son's gonna watch this show. He was, like, actually... sitting down and invested in it, which, I mean, it's a good show. I mean, it won an Emmy, for God's sakes, so...
I think it won a couple, actually.
I know it won for Heart of Ice. I don't know if it ever won for animated series or not.
Well, so Donald Logue's going to be Harvey Bullock, and Donald Logue, if you don't know who that is, he played Lee Torek in the last season of Sons of Anarchy, and then he's King Horik in Vikings right now. He used to have a show called Grounded for Life. I think it was like Fox or WB back in the day. Very funny actor.
Yes.
But he does serious very well, too. Cause like my first time seeing him in a serious role was Sons of Anarchy. And I thought, like, oh, okay, let's put a funny man in here. Because they had just done the same thing with, what's that guy's name from Community? And he does the soup.
Oh, yes.
Fuck. Natalie, what's your pretend husband's name? From Community and the Soup?
I love that guy.
Joel McHale.
Yes.
So, like, they did the same thing. You know, they put him in a couple of episodes, but he was still, like, the goofy, funny guy. But Lee Torek was, like, dark as hell and pretty bad guy for a retired marshal, doing drugs and killing hookers and planting evidence. You know, that old chestnut.
The kind of stuff you expect cops to do in the Sons of Anarchy universe.
except for Lieutenant Roosevelt. May he rest in peace.
Is.
He was like the one straight cop ever.
Oh my God, that was... Whoa. Opening of season 2. Jesus.
What was opening season 2?
Wasn't it Sons of Anarchy in the opening of season 2? Is that the same cop you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the cop, the one that replaced the sheriff.
Oh, okay.
The one that... in the season finale. Spoilers if you haven't finished season 6 of Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, okay. You're talking,
after Kara dies, then shoots him.
Yeah.
So he was like the one good guy in town.
I was thinking about the original kind of sidekick, the deputy that got gunned down by the gang in season. I'm pretty sure it's the opening of season two. He was the big hard ass and just got annihilated by one of the million rival gang, you know, motorcycle gangs they deal with.
Oh, I don't remember. It's been a while since I watched that.
The really ripped guy. I don't remember who it was.
The really ripped guy.
I just remember it always looked like, oh man, he could totally take them in a bar fight, and then he gets gunned down by an Uzi or something.
Hmm. Well, I'm sorry, I have no answer for that, sir.
Going well so far.
Gotham, coming out, young Bruce Wayne, not Batman yet, mostly about the rise of Commissioner Gordon, who is, I believe, Lieutenant Gordon in this show.
Yes.
So
played by Ben McKenzie, who I don't know either.
IMDb his ass. Who the fuck is he?
Ben McKenzie.
Bullock. I'm so excited to have Bullock. I hope he has, like, a weird accent.
like something
one that doesn't match anybody else in Gotham.
It's kind of like the Bronx, but Chicago.
Yeah.
Not quite right. Let's see. He's on Southland, where he apparently also plays a police officer.
Okay.
He did, we were just talking about Batman Year One. He's the voice of Batman in that.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
Other than that, nothing, little things here and there, nothing that I really know.
You know what? Here's a weird thought. Crossovers between Batman and Sons of Anarchy. So Donald Logue.
Right.
Between Gotham and Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, whom I'm aspiring to look like. With
You're
my
doing
beard.
A good job at that.
I'm going to be him for Halloween. So there, Bobby was Flass. Peter Weller, RoboCop, was the voice of Batman in The Dark Knight Returns.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in the present season of FSOA.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you also see a lot of... No, it's Bryan Cranston. I'm thinking of Breaking Bad.
So if we're going down that rabbit hole, the question is, if you had to have Ron Perlman play a Batman villain, who would it be?
He already voiced a Batman villain.
Which Batman villain did he voice?
Just talk amongst yourselves. Give me a minute. okay, no, seriously, though.
As soon as you said that, I clicked on him. I'm like, what now? I just say he plays, I just saw it. He plays Sinestro in Green Lantern the Animated Series.
Yeah, but not in that.
He played Dr. X in Batman the Brave and the Bold. Is that what you're thinking of?
Maybe. I mean, he's in everything.
That's true. But I mean, if we're talking full-on Hellboy, like, he played Killer Croc.
That's what I was thinking of.
2005 to 2008 in
The Batman. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay, that'll do. Like I'm sitting here. Oh, he was in Static Shock and Justice League as Clayface.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh. So Clayface, Batman villain.
I guess. Well,
he was also Slade in the Teen Titans, so he was Deathstroke, the Terminator.
But if we had to see him play himself, so live action, what is the best Batman villain for Ron Perlman?
Which one's geriatric? Because he's 63. I'm just kidding. He's not that old. I mean, he's 63, but that's not that old.
I mean, I could see Croc.
No, he's not bad. I mean, he had to wear a muscle suit like he did in Hellboy.
Right.
God, I don't know. Did you see Pacific Rim?
I saw part of it. I watched it way too late at night.
Oh, that's a good movie. Well, you know he's in that, and he plays kind of a gangsterish character. Really nice, like, crisp suit, and he really looked the part of, like, an eccentric, rich thug.
Gotcha.
I bet he could pull that off. Like, just like a, like, black mask, maybe?
Oh, so like a Falcone or a Maroni or Marconi or something like that.
Yeah, he could definitely play a crime lord. If you wanted to go with a weirdo, he could do Black Mask. Because then you wouldn't see his, like, wrinkly face, so you could pretend it's a young man, right?
What about, like a Hugo Strange?
Dr. Hugo Strange? I mean, yeah, or, like, Mr. Freeze, even, I could see. Shave his head.
Anything would be better than Schwarzenegger as Freeze.
Well, listen to Mad Chat from this week here at Follow Networks, because we recast Batman and Robin, circa 1997. We chose Con Air's John Malkovich. to be Mr. Freeze. But anyway.
Oh, he'd look beautiful in that part.
Yeah, he would do great, wouldn't he? And then he already has that, like, really weird, obscure accent.
Yes. You know,
that deadpan delivery that he can have. So it's just been perfect for the part of Mr. Freeze.
That is yet another actor that I absolutely love that my mother cannot stand.
Why?
I have, like, three – I just have three actors that I love that my mother's like, nope, nope, nope. She just won't – refuses to watch a movie with them because she's like – I think he creeps her out a little bit.
You should just buy her being John Malkovich. It's got his name in the title, for crying out loud. Perfect.
It's that. It's I'm trying to think of the other two who they are. Is it Danny Caruso, the guy from David Caruso, the guy from CSI Miami? Mm-hmm. She can't stand that guy either.
Your mom's weird.
She is. Hi, Mom. She may or may not be listening to this.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Grady. Can Cody come out and play?
Not anymore.
What other shows we got coming out here? We've got The Flash coming out, and they've revealed his suit.
I like it. As I was saying before, it looks sleek, but still superhero-y. It kind of reminds me, actually, of Superman's new digs. Less bright, more...
Yeah, it's like a muted red. It's not that, like, hot rod cherry red that you're used to seeing.
Exactly. And it's I don't know, with the texture and stuff, it kind of almost reminds me of, like, military complex style body armor, you know what I mean? Like, it looks less like spandex, I guess, is what they're going for.
Yeah, I don't know if I so much like the head. I mean, in the shot that I'm looking at, he is, like, leaning towards the camera, so his head's real big.
Yeah.
But without having the lightning bolt things stick out, you know, it leaves the head, there's no definition to it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, this big round thing. I don't know. And it makes it look huge to me.
That is, like, true. He's
like got, like, a thick or something.
Like a Brainiac thing going on there.
Yeah, but he is leaning inward, like forward towards the camera. So it could just be an aspect ratio thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Although, like I said, the ears I do like. It's sleeker. It's not so comic book cartoony, you know, hey, let's draw lightning bolts for ears kind of thing. It's a little more sleek.
Do you think in the Avengers... Captain America's outfit should have been the same one from World War II. The helmet with the, like, wings painted on it and stuff.
I do. I like both. I mean, I do like the helmet with the wings, but with the full sort of face mask thing, almost, I was going to say, very similar to the previous thing they shot, or they gave it the Flash, kind of with the chin guard thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
They both look really, really cool. I like the helmet maybe slightly more for the nostalgia aspect, but...
Well,
like
they still had the goggles, you know, the face part put into it, too, which is nice.
And we're getting a Winter Soldier, too, which will be pretty, pretty, pretty awesome.
And that comes out in April, so we're almost to it. Captain America's, actually, his costume in that looks a little more rugged, a little more World War II. Did you notice that? You know, he's got, like... When you look at the costume, it's not as sleek and streamlined as his Avengers outfit. Mm-hmm. He's got more like bandoliers, a lot of straps and things to keep grenades and shit in.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a utility belt thing going on.
It is interesting. I mean, like you said, the star on his chest, the kind of the diagonal lines coming towards the star. It's definitely a little different from the original Cap costume, as it were.
Which is fine. They need that. They got a lot of flack about the outfit in the Avengers. That was people's, like, primary complaint.
Which is, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't care quite so much what they look like as long as they're recognizable and they look cool. You know what I mean? It doesn't.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't look cool. He looked like he was wearing pajamas.
Well, it's fair, I guess.
I don't know. You guys weigh in out there in listener land. There was one other TV thing that we looked up. Oh, Constantine.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love John Constantine.
So, the Hellblazer, John Constantine, they're making a pilot right now for NBC. And a picture from the set kind of got leaked. Would you describe it for us, Cody?
Sure. Well, I saw you were talking about I'm still looking for the leaked image. All I've seen so far is just him standing against the wall. Is that the leaked image? Because that looks like a promo
first
shot.
First image of Matt. As detective, let me see here.
Yeah. What I've kind of seen is the classic Constantine look. I mean, hair blown back, He's got the open collar with the tie pulled down slightly. He's got the brown duster and little wisps of smoke around him a little bit.
Okay, I'm looking at that photo right now, and yes, that does look extraordinarily like him, like John Constantine. But no, the photo I saw earlier today on Movie Pilot was from the set, and it was like it was a group shot of the crew and cast.
Oh, okay, I see it now.
And it got leaked, and he's like off to the side. So,
you know who he actually reminds me of just a tiny bit?
Who?
Stuart Sager.
Who's that?
The local indie comic book writer.
Oh, okay.
Or comic book artist, I mean. The guy who had the booth right across from where you got your Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
Reminds me a little bit of him. Wait. But it's kind of got that that rugged look. And the wisps of smoke, although, like I said, sans cigarette, it's just not quite Constantine for me.
Yeah, do you think they're going to let him smoke? Modern era.
I mean, you're talking about NBC, modern day. Like, I feel like they're going to ham it up. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be...
It says right here, the locks are darker, but the trench coat, shirt, and tie are the same. Parentheses. And, of course, no sign of a cigarette.
Yeah, that's what... I mean, we've got the wisps of smoke, so I almost wonder if it's going to be one of those... You'll see him pull out the cigarettes, and there might be some smoke float through the air, but I kind of doubt we'll see him, you know...
Yeah.
...actually light up, inhale, and then exhale on camera.
Fair enough. I mean, whatever.
Which is
sad. It vilifies smoking so much.
Yeah. I just think that would be so cool. I mean, cast some badass spell. You know, light up, puff, say something incredibly snarky to the camera. Like, that's Constantine.
Sometimes, like at night when I'm laying in bed, if I don't have anything to read, if I run out of books before I fall asleep, I get on Wikipedia and I just fall down rabbit holes of looking up comic book characters. And one of the greatest entrances is for John Constantine. So, like, all of them will have, like, creation and conception, then fictional character biography, then appearances, then powers and abilities, you know, then in other media, like movies, TV shows, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
His has section number 5, in real life.
Oh, yes.
And so have you heard about this?
I have. Go ahead. It's pretty good.
So I'm just going to read it to you. This comes from 1993 Wizard magazine. Alan Moore, creator of the character, says that he's met him on 2 occasions. So, quote, "One day I was in Westminster in London, and this was after he had introduced the character, mind you, and I was sitting in a sandwich bar. All of a sudden up the stairs came John Constantine. He was wearing the trench coat, a short cut. No, he didn't even look exactly like Sting. He looked exactly like John Constantine. He looked at me, stared me straight in the eyes, smiled, nodded almost conspiratorially. And then just walked off around the corner to the other part of the snack bar. I sat there and thought, should I go around that corner and see if he's really there, or should I just eat my sandwich and leave? I opted for the latter. I thought it was the safest. I'm not making any claims to anything. I'm just saying that it happened. Strange little story." Then in 2001, Snakes and Ladders, he told another story. He said that years later, in another place, he steps out of the dark and speaks to me. He whispered, "I'll tell you the ultimate secret of magic," and he cunt could do it.
Yeah, he is, well, we have to take in the fact that Alan Moore is completely batshit crazy, so...
I mean, there he is, but isn't that cool?
Oh, it's fantastic. No,
and another person, original Hellblazer writer Jamie Delano, claims to have met Constantine, that he was outside of the British Museum.
If I don't know, are you a Hellblazer fan? Have you read much Hellblazer?
Not as much as I would like.
I have. I will tell people right now. Okay. Yes, Alan Moore's great. But those original, like, the first 12, 15, 20 issues that Delano wrote, which is like the first 2 trades, I have them. Oh my god, they are so good. They're everything that comics weren't at that time, and it's fantastic.
They're the comics that Gotham deserves.
Oh, they're so... I mean, just the way that... If you read... I mean, Vertigo back then, like, you know, in the... I'm not quite sure when it started. Mid-80s, maybe? Early 90s? Like, that's when you're getting Saga of the Swamp Thing. You're getting, you know, all these interesting panel creations and colors, and you're getting very... The edges are a little softer. The content's a bit rougher. It's just fantastic stuff.
Here's a question for you. What did you think of the movie Constantine?
Oh, God, I wanted to like it. I really did.
I like it. I watch it every now and then.
it's just like, I mean, sometimes you see casting calls and you're like, okay, I don't believe this. And then you're like, this was great. Somebody made a great call. It's like, I, to this day, do not understand why they thought the guy who played Neo should be the guy who plays Constantine.
Whoa.
come on. It's not that bad.
It's not, but it's like, okay, so you're supposed to have, you know, a sort of bleach blonde, you know, rugged smoker, doesn't give a shit, smooth talking guy, and you chose the guy famous for saying, whoa.
Do you, now Matt Ryan in this upcoming pilot, he's a Brit, as the character of John Constantine is British. Do you think they're going to make him be American?
I hope not.
They're going to really keep the accent, but he's like operating in America or something, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him do just like they did in the original. Well, in the original comic, he hopped around a lot. He was in New York City quite a bit. He went down to New Orleans on occasion. And of course, he's going to magical realms and whatnot. But I would love to have that.
Like Narnia?
Well, no.
I'm stuck with you, dude.
More, that's also a British magical realm, but not quite.
Did he go to Hogwarts?
Yes, that's where he learned everything. Hogwarts. Yeah. But I'd love to just have him. I mean, if I had my way, this show would be on HBO and he'd be swearing and smoking and, you know, whoring around as much as possible.
Where are we at on the Guillermo del Toro Justice League Dark?
Oh, not anywhere near close enough, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The thing is what I keep hearing out of Guillermo del Toro is it's like, I'm going to do these awesome, awesome things, and they just keep not happening. Trust me, a Justice League Dark, I mean, to see Zatanna, Swamp Thing, Hellblazer, Dead Man on screen, oh, that'd be great.
It'd be fucking epic.
I mean, to have, it would be a brilliant DC answer to the Avengers, in my opinion, because whereas the Avengers are clean cut and funny and, you know, kind of, you know, family friendly, this is almost like your, you know, this ain't your mama's team up kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see them on stage with the dark black magic and the violence and the questionable morality, but I don't know if anyone will ever go for it, especially after the Avengers hit so big. It'd be great.
See, Del Toro revealed in an interview with MTV in July 2013 that he hopes the DC Cinematic Universe, which started with Man of Steel, will become as cohesive as the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and he added that if there was any correlation to that universe in this film, he would honor it. Okay, that's good. In October 2013, Del Toro stated he felt his film would be able to coexist with the announced Constantine television series and reiterated that the film was still active and in the writing process. So, there you go. Oh, the Spectre. Is it the Spectre or the Phantom Stranger that, I mean, they're both on the rotating, you know, as members of the Justice League Dark, rotating members. Which one of them is, one of them is considered the most powerful comic book character ever, and I can't remember which one.
Well,
I get him confused.
Is it the Spectre? The Spectre's the guy who's constantly, like, almost invading people's bodies and terrifying them into death.
But like, doesn't he have reality-altering abilities to the point that he is God? Hang on. Okay, powers and abilities of the Spectre. Spectre has all the abilities a god would have, including but not limited to the manipulation of time and space, control over all matter, invulnerability, and limitless strength. For example, if he wished to wipe someone from existence, such as killing a bank robber with a tornado of dollar bills, he can do it. Virtually anything he wishes to do to those he judges is possible. He has no discernible weaknesses other than needing a human host to be able to be a fair judge, although he has been tricked before by Psycho Pirate and Eclipso. The Spectre is immune to most damage, although he can be hurt by powerful magic. Though he is widely considered to be the most powerful superhero in terms of abilities, the Spectre does not harm the innocent unless being tricked into doing so. Usually immune to control effects in the Blackest Night story arc, Atrocitus attempted to enslave him with a red ring, but the Spectre cast it off, stating that his fury comes from a higher power and cannot be controlled by a mortal.
Well, I mean, he's the, you know, depiction of Deus Machina in the story. He's, you know, he's a little, he reminds me a little bit of the Watcher from Marvel, except he actually does things. I guess to me, the Watcher just doesn't do anything.
Are you thinking of Kingdom Come? I mean, yeah, and there he is, but like back in the old Justice Society of America days.
I mean, I guess to me, the Spectre has always been... Yeah, I guess if you consider that he does those things and they actually happen, to me, I always felt like...
For having a Watcher reference, by the way.
I guess to me, he seems more like it's psychological. Like, okay, so he attacks people with tornadoes of dollar bills when they're bank robbers, but does that actually happen? Or is that just like some sort of poetic justice and the police just find a random dead body? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But
I guess I've always... I really like some of the older Spectre comics. And I've read some of them, and I guess it is godlike power because he's creating something out of nothing, but I've always seen it more as like a poetic, you know, evil god, you know, the Old Testament god justice as opposed to, you know, manifesting those powers.
See, now I'm looking at the Phantom Stranger, and he has like omniscience, so he has godlike powers too. He's immortal, never aging. He has enormous powers and capabilities, the exact origin of which is undetermined. He can travel enormous distances in a very short period of time, as well as to mystical dimensions such as heaven, hell, and the realm occupied by the quintessence. He can fire energy bolts of great force, travel through time, dispel magic, reveal illusions, and survive in space without any type of life support system. The limits of his power have not been defined. In many cases, despite his obvious capabilities, he claims he is not allowed to end a crisis directly, only to guide others to take the necessary actions. This restriction allows the Stranger to guest star in virtually any title without becoming a deus ex machina, deus ex whatever, without whose actions would immediately end the story.
So he's more like the Watcher then.
Yeah.
He shows up and is like, hey, you guys better watch out for this thing I can't tell you for because it would ruin the plot.
Well, I mean, clearly the damn council on Oa are based on Uatu the Watcher.
Right.
Because they're the giant heads. I think Uatu was first. Because Silver Age Green Lantern came out after... Right? After Fantastic Four? Shit. I don't know.
Oh, boy. We are showing off all our knowledge at the moment.
I know. All right, I'll look up Uatu and you look up the other one.
Uatu's 1963.
I just said I'd look him up.
I already hit enter.
April 1963 for Uatu. And the right. Council of Oa.
Oa. I was going to say, for some reason, I want to say they've got to be really, really, really close.
I know, but one of them, damn it.
So one of them came first.
Which one was it?
And this as is... we all know, for nerds, the first one is always the best one.
Let's see. Green Lanterns. Fudge we buckets.
Fail at this.
I know. Talk about something else, quick.
Well, talking about, we were talking a little bit about Guillermo del Toro. This is something you'll probably find somewhat interesting since we talked about Prometheus last week.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's another movie that he wanted to do based on the Lovecraft story At the Mountains of Madness,
mm-hmm.
where basically this Antarctic exploration goes down and they spend a significant period of time and find like all these signs of life forms that have existed on Earth for millions of years before we did. Guillermo wanted to do that.
They're called the Guardians. Sorry. Damn it. They're from 1960.
Uatu's the clone. Take that, Stan Lee. But
right in your ear.
Guillermo was supposed to do this At the Mountains of Madness with all these creepy Shoggoths and stuff, but basically the plot line of At the Mountains of Madness is Prometheus. So okay. I think he was all geared up to do this huge, like, epic, creepy, bizarre Antarctic movie based on Lovecraft. And a lot of people think because Prometheus basically told the same story, Guillermo was like, well, I can't do that anymore.
I know, I'll make Swamp Thing.
That's acceptable. I mean, I'd much rather see this, but oh my god, these are creepy. It's an IO9 article. It says Guillermo del Toro's sketches reveal At the Mountains of Madness. He's just got random sketches of concept art, and they're pretty creepy. Some stuff from Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy in here.
Never sat through Pan's Labyrinth.
Really?
Yeah, do you recommend that?
I like it a lot.
Is it weird? Do I need to pay extra amounts of attention?
Probably.
Should I not drink during it?
No. Although on the bright side, it is in Spanish, so it's a subtitled thing.
Oh, so it's even better. Great.
If you can't read while drunk, I know I listened to, or I listened to it in the original Spanish with subtitles. It probably is dubbed, but I have it. You should watch it sometime. It's pretty sweet.
Okay, I can do that.
Lots of really weird creatures and fantastic stories. It's kind of like, you know, if you read like the actual Grimm fairy tales versus what we say the Grimm fairy tales are, kind of a little bit like that. Creepy monsters that are actually horrifically terrifying. Lots of little kids playing with things they shouldn't, that kind of thing.
Like their penises.
Oh, masturbation joke.
Oh. Okay, last thing to talk about. Movies that have you excited this summer.
Oh, God. There are a bunch. I didn't really think about it, but it's probably one of the films I'm now looking the most forward to is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sweet.
I mean, I think a lot of people are saying this argument, but Marvel is really owning up to its unique aspects, its, you know, sort of comical and bizarre, somewhat childish nature, mm-hmm. because they're portraying Groot as Groot should be, and they're portraying Rocket Raccoon as he should be. So I think that's one that I would really be interested in. That one, A Million Ways to Die in the West, which would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
What would be the other one? The new Spider-Man, actually. I thought Amazing Spider-Man was really overlooked by a lot of people, and it was a really, really good movie.
It was exceptional. And I'm excited for what this Spider-Man is going to kind of open up for the future with the, you know, they've already announced there's a Sinister Six movie.
Oh, man, that'll on the be way. Great.
You know, we also have Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Which will be great, I'm sure.
Coming out in April. We have the fourth Transformers. This one has Dinobots, which is cool. So you said Guardians.
You got new X-Men.
Yeah, we get the new X-Men in May. That's coming up fast.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Comes out later in the summer. On my birthday, August 22nd, you have Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
That should be pretty good, too. I don't know if I would see that in theaters, but I bet that could be good.
I saw the first one in theaters, and let me tell you, it's worth it. Did you see the first one in the theater?
No, I did not.
The stark black and white visuals of Frank Miller's Sin City
mm-hmm.
are best portrayed on the big screen. Absolutely.
Oh, I bet they look fantastic.
It's amazing.
Well, it's been long enough that probably the bandwagon fans may or may not go out to see it. But I just find that when you go to any sort of nerd movie, maybe you don't see this, but you always get that moment of, oh my God, here's this super awesome movie, or this super awesome part of this movie. And then you see people whispering, wait, what was that? Who's that person? I don't understand what's going on.
See, you're doing it wrong. That's why here at the Rancor's Brothel, we go to the $1.50 movie theater. Yeah, it's 8 weeks after the movie came out, but it is so fucking worth it because there's nobody there. It's just like all the brothelites when we meet up. It's pretty cool.
It was. It just reminds me of seeing The Dark Knight Rises the night it came out with one of my best friends, and he and I are both huge Batman fans, and we're just sitting there elbowing each other, going, "Oh my God, that's from No Man's Land."
Yeah.
Or, oh look, that's and like there are all these like 16, 17-year-old kids wearing Joker shirts, and it's like, okay, they're part of this weird Heath Ledger cult or something, and they were just like, well, I don't get any of this. It's like, oh, God.
It's because you are worthless and weak, child. Go. The world will be better without you.
Your nerd level is not high enough to understand this film.
You clearly cannot roll your 20-sider.
That's right. Critical fail. I have a +3
charisma.
Oh, that's terrible.
I can't think if there's any other movies besides those. A Million Ways to Die in the West looks amazing.
Oh, it'll be great.
Yeah.
Blazing
Saddles. The Ninja Turtle preview will be at the front of Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
I just don't know how I feel about, because it's Michael Bay doing that, right?
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about Michael Bay doing Ninja Turtles. I hope
it's
good.
Give it a chance. Give it a chance.
I will, but man, it just, I hope he doesn't, Michael Bay it up.
No, that was uncalled for.
Have you seen the graph of explosions and how many explosions have to be in Transformers 4 in order to complete the cycle he started with all the Transformers films?
No.
Someone has charted this. I wonder if you can Google it or not. It's some sort of chart of explosions in Michael Bay films. And they've been increasing on an exponential curve. And the door, for order him to do it, it has to portray like 697 explosions or something. It's like, that's ridiculous.
Okay, I am just Googling the words graph of Michael Bay explosions. Let's see if I... Wow, it came up.
Did you see it? It's like some weird, almost parabolic arc, because it just goes almost straight up.
Oh, this is funny.
I don't know if it's true at all. I mean, I've not fact-checked this, but I really hope it's accurate, because it just proves what we all think.
I mean, it is perfect.
Is it not?
Fuck.
It's fantastic.
I find a clear copy.
Yeah, because I'm all for action movies, but man, a lot of explosions that man uses, that he uses.
That's hilarious. And I mean, wow, Transformers 2 and Transformers 3. Armageddon. Holy fuck. That is amazing that somebody A, figured this out, and then B, that it was actually right.
Did you,
They have it laid out by budget. Or no, I'm sorry, it's not budget. That's box office. So the box office gets higher and higher, too, the higher they go.
Did you see his profit per explosion?
No.
Oh, man, okay. It's horrible to, you know, go behind the curtain here. Where can I? Here, I'll send this to you, this Reddit link. But it shows a graph.
I don't do Reddit.
Oh.
My life will end.
Yeah, it will. That's a rabbit hole.
When I made the decision to become a father, I made the decision to not get on Reddit.
Because I spend all night on that on the phone. I'll just sit there and start going down the rabbit hole. Next thing you know, you're like 48 pages deep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
See? Not doing that.
Apparently, he earns $3.2 million for every explosion in his movies.
Shit. That is ridiculous. That is goddamn ridiculous.
This link also had a link to the career of M. Night Shyamalan movie and his decline over time.
You know what? I really liked was the devil. Was it just called Devil that he produced? It was supposed to be a part of a trilogy, but it failed so bad at the box office they didn't go through with the rest. It was where they're stuck in an elevator, which I was stuck in an elevator yesterday, so that works out.
I would say, I remember the ads for that, but I don't think I ever saw it.
There's like five people stuck in an elevator, and like whenever the power goes out and comes back on, one of them's dead. But one of the people in the elevator is the devil.
Hmm.
It was a very interesting, fun story, I thought. But
I've never disliked M. Night Shyamalan, I think, quite as much as other people have. I like, it's just, his ideas are so close. It's just like he's one good idea away from making a solid movie. You know what I mean?
I like Signs. I loved Signs.
Oh,
Signs,
I do too.
Signs scared the shit out of me. And yes. Then it scared the shit out of me because we were in this theater when we went to go see it that had like real squeaky air vents. So whenever the AC would kick on, the vent would open and it'd be like really loud in the theater and everybody jump. So that set you on edge already. But like. I believe in aliens and shit, and so, like, seeing that stuff scares the fuck out of me.
Nice.
Then, like, 5 or 6 years later, I'm watching it again at home, and I had the brightness up on the TV, and I never noticed before, like, in all the times I'd watched it, that when the little girl's like, there's a monster outside my window,
mm-hmm.
and Mel Gibson goes and looks, I guess it was standing on the barn across from the window.
Oh, yeah.
And I had never seen it before, and then it just happened that one time I saw it, right when Mel Gibson does his, like, startle jump. I fucking lost it, Cody. I lost it. I screamed like a little girl.
I mean, what I really like about his movies is that you have to be paying attention. They're so subtle and almost delicate in the way they handle their horror. Like, nobody's jumping out of a bush with a chainsaw and hacking someone into bits.
He said bush.
But as you, I mean, when you first see the first alien and he just happens to, like, walk past the window, I think it's beautifully timed and is absolutely horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was done like the Sasquatch film, the Bigfoot film.
Yes, exactly. But to me, that's almost, like, he has some great ideas. He just needs someone that when he's going to, you know... Oh, and we need this big twist. It's like, no, let's stay on target here. Let's not mess up a good thing here.
Now you say that, and then he did stay on target one time. And that one time was The Lady in the Water. And in that one time, he wrote himself into the movie as a man whose writing changes the world.
Yeah.
So let's not give them all the credit. I mean, they're good movies.
To be fair, I'm mostly talking about the ones prior to Lady in the Water. I don't think I've seen anything after. Mostly talking about Signs, The Sixth Sense, and Unbreakable.
Fair enough.
I'd like to like The Happening. I really would.
I thought The Happening was interesting.
Again, good concepts, just not quite great execution. The Village as well. I thought The Village was a neat idea.
I love The Village. I own that one. All right, you know what? I think that's going to do it for us here at the brothel this week. Anything else you want to bring up?
Well, about 1,000 things, but we probably shouldn't record a 15-hour podcast.
Yeah, I agree. So that's what we're geeking out on this week. What are you guys into? Did you look at all the pictures that we saw of the costumes online of Constantine and the Flash and the title card for Gotham? Let us know. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/group/Rancor's Brothel, and drop us a line. Let us know what you thought. Also, next week, Cody's bringing this on you here, will be a Hunger Games episode.
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Me and my friend Beth are going to watch the second one finally.
And oh, boy.
And Beth will be our guest, so we're going to talk about the Hunger Games.
Have you read them? I read the first book.
Well, you're going to be able to contribute to 1/3 of the podcast.
Yes, so,
okay,
probably.
Good. That'll be fine. So we'll see you guys next week at the brothel.
Right. Keep it nerdy, folks.
Keep it dirty, folks.
Oh.
Oh, keep it dirty and nerdy. Whips and chains and dice.